Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Tonis here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls. Sorry. Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Big Red Waymo as we take the glorious monstrosity out on the suburban streets of Roselle. I'm Doug Tonis and I look to my left and it's an automated AI driver because sadly C. Red Fred and I could not work out a time to get this all done together. But we thought it would be great to try and get out a podcast today, and I'm going to discuss the latest of what's going on with Billy Donovan and what is going on with Chicago Bulls front office search. So we'll kick it off with Billy Donovan, and even though this is the big news of the day, I got to say, I don't think there's much news here. It's fine. They got rid of him. It's not a moment to celebrate. I know a lot of you think it is. It's not. Billy Donovan would have done a great job mentoring young players if that was his primary responsibility, and if he wanted to do it. Players have historically loved him. He's had a high level of success doing that in college, and Modest, like, lives and swears by him. Like, I just think he would be fine. I know a lot of people think it's going to disrupt the quality of candidates we would get to lead the front office. Nope, definitely wouldn't. It is not super weird that a front office candidate is going to come in and not fire their coach right away. Like, just not super weird. And what, Donovan's got probably 2 years. So I just don't think it would matter. And of the guys that we're likely to interview, it certainly won't matter because all of them are probably getting a 2 to 5X pay increase if they get the job. And there's only 30 of them. And the Bulls are actually a pretty great organization to work for. I know everyone doesn't want to hear it because they just love to rail on the Bulls. But if I could be a general manager of a team or head of front office of a team, I would love to do it for the Bulls. Oh, wow. I will have a tremendous amount of patience, and the front office only wants me to get to the first round of the playoffs. What better job could I possibly have than that? Like, just seems like, yep, expectations are not super high, and I'm going to have a lot of job security, and I have a lot of time to put my plan into work, and I'm going to do the best I can. I'm not going to aim for the first round of the playoffs, but, like, that is the goal that I have to get to it. It's like a super achievable goal. Like, I would love to go to a job where I'm going to make 5 times as much money and the goal is like super achievable. That would be a fantastic situation for all of us. Any of you out there not want to make 5 times as much money and have a goal that you think you could succeed in doing and have upside to do better than if you got there? I think all of us would like that. So let's just not pretend that this is so terrible because it isn't. As for Billy Donovan, you know, he chooses to move on. That's also fine with me. I don't mind that he's moving on. This is a guy who clearly does not want to coach a rebuild. When he came to Chicago, he left the Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that had 5 trillion first-round draft picks coming up and would quickly become a dynasty and perhaps one of the greatest coaching situations a head coach could ever dream of having. And Billy Donovan did not have the vision to see that that could be true, or the trust in Sam Presti to put it together to be true. And so I don't know that I really need Billy Donovan here. If that situation wasn't good enough, clearly this Bulls rebuilding situation was not going to be good enough. I don't blame him for not wanting to spend a couple years going through it. That's fine. It's a personal choice. But clearly, if the Oklahoma City situation was not it, this was not going to be it either. And I do think people just have expiration dates on jobs. He definitely seemed to lose the team a little bit at the end. Now, granted, that may not have been him losing the team as much as the team just getting a bunch of hired guns and losing itself with all the trades and whatnot. So whatever. The whole thing is fine. It's fine that he left. It would have been fine that he stayed. I don't care. I'm not a big buyer in the narrative that Billy Donovan saved the Bulls from themselves and now they're going to get like a way better front office candidate. I think like just it was not as weird a situation as people have made it out to be because the Bulls were just weirdly public about it. But I don't think it's like all that unusual that a head of basketball operations may come in and then have to like live with a head coach for some period of time that preexisted. That seems actually super normal to me. So let's run through, though, the different people who have been reported to be in the running for this role. Now, we know certain people are in the running because we had to ask permission from their teams to interview them for the role. And so obviously we know they are in the running. We've got one more that we kind of know is in the running that's been widely reported. even though they do not work for another team. And then Joe Cowley says there are three mystery candidates. So presumably guys not in the NBA. So if we look at the guys, you all know already probably that Matt Lloyd is my favorite for this role. If you followed me for a long time, you'll know this is the third time I have tried to get Matt Lloyd to be hired to run the Chicago Bulls. The first time was when John Paxson stepped down. The second time was when they fired Gar Forman. And the third time is now. So I like Matt Lloyd only because I have met Matt Lloyd. I am not saying Matt Lloyd is the best of all these candidates and we have to hire him, but I have met him. He is a smart guy. He's a positive guy. You talk with him for a few minutes and you immediately know that he knows what he's doing. And he has, to me, a good visionary leadership quality to him that I think would be a breath of fresh air after Arturas Karnišovas, the dumbest interview I've ever heard every time he talks. That makes me want to stab myself in the eye. So Matt Lloyd is going to be like way better at that. From a career perspective, he has a tremendous amount of experience. He has been with three different organizations. He's had success at all three. He's been promoted at all three. He's never been fired. He's always been poached. And so, in that sense, he's got a lot of league validation. He's presently learning under Tim Connelly. He is in the role of number two at the Timberwolves. Just fleeced the Bulls on an Ayo Dosunmu trade. So great there. At least we won't get ripped off by Matt Lloyd again if we bring him to us. Maybe he was even involved in the Vooch trade with Orlando. He was with Orlando, though was not in the GM role when he was with Orlando. So who knows? But I like to pretend that he was just because it makes me feel better. The biggest negative about Matt Lloyd is that he was previously with Chicago, and Chicago fans will just be mad that we brought back someone who was with Chicago before. Even though you could draw a direct line between when Matt Lloyd left and the Bulls' ability to draft good players completely went in the trash. And so the last draft he was a part of was Nikola Mirotic and Jimmy Butler, and the next draft was Marquise Teague, followed by all of the crap 4 years. So I think that should actually be kind of a positive thing. Matt Lloyd was the guy who helped you build the Chicago Bulls that made it to these conference finals. And had a great run of 11 postseason appearances in 13 years. And I like him. So, anyway, he's done a nice job everywhere he's been. He is known as a tireless work ethic guy. He is known as a like very hands-on guy. He's been in all parts of the organizations, very operations heavy, data analytics heavy, very scouting heavy, just, just in on everything. I think those types of people make really good lead decision ma makers, especially when they are like, just really great, upbeat personalities. People are going to want to work for him. I think he would just do a really nice job. And again, I have a little bit, not like any real connection. I've not talked with Matt Lloyd since he was with the Bulls. So that was like 15 years ago, but whatever. I have some teeny, teeny, tiny bit of personal knowledge there. Tiny bit. That should not matter at all. Next candidate is Dennis Lindsay. I would say he is also super experienced. He's also been with multiple organizations. He was the main decision maker of the Utah Jazz when they had Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, brought in Quinn Snyder. So he's shown he could nail a coaching hire. He's shown he could draft really well, got, Gobert very late, got Mitchell, much later. So with the Bulls' assets, you're going to need to find someone that could get as lucky as Dennis Lindsay got, at least in with the Jazz. Built a very good team in the West, which is even harder, and he did so as the number one decision maker. So I think like that is a really big feather in his cap versus anyone else that is at least publicly being considered for the job. He is currently an SVP with the Detroit Pistons. Been part of the rebuild, came there in summer of 2024, so that he's been there 2 years. The one thing you can say that is a really big, potential concern here or not, depending on your view, is he had made some reportedly racist remarks. I believe the comment was something like, "If you don't play harder, you can take your black ass back to Louisiana." And so any individual is going to be able to take that comment and decide how important that is to him. Is definitely going to become front and center again if he takes this job. And whether you think that's important or not, I'm going to leave to you. I don't want to get into it. I could understand why someone might view that in any one significant way. I could see why you might be super offended. I could see where you could say, well, you know, whatever, this doesn't mean that he's racist. It just, whatever. I don't know. I would say Elijah Millsap found it very offensive. He complained about it and he didn't back off the fact that it was said to him. And also, I guess I should note, there's no, they were never able to prove that it was said or not said, just that he was accused of saying it. Super weird thing to accuse someone of saying. If it wasn't said, of course, super weird things happen in the world. So I don't know enough about Utah. I'm sure someone else can dig in and know more about that than I can. But that will definitely be like a really big thing that's going to be in the news if he comes here. But otherwise, you know, he's proven he can do it at all levels. He's run an org. He's done good in that org. He has been part of a second very successful org in the Pistons now. And so I think there's like a lot of positives you could look at there from an experience standpoint. If you were then to look at the next candidate is Bryson Graham. He's currently with the Atlanta Hawks. He's been there just for a year now as a SVP of basketball operations. Prior to that, he basically started with it as an intern in New Orleans and was there for 15 years and climbed all the way up to general manager, from intern to general manager in 15 years. That's crazy. That is a crazy, crazy thing. Now, if I wanted to be negative about that, I'd be like, yeah, and look at what the Pelicans did over the last 15 years. Are you excited about like any of that? Maybe not. But he was primarily a scout there. So like his main kind of reputation was talent evaluation and scouting. And if you were to look at the Pelicans in terms of scouting, like think they generally did pretty well. Found Herb Jones, found Trey Murphy III, found Yves Missi, Jose Alvarado, Najee Marshall. I mean, they found some like good players. So I think in that sense, he's known as like a really good talent evaluator. The one thing you would then say is like it doesn't necessarily have a lot of experience across all aspects of the organization. He was promoted incredibly quickly, and he's only worked for 1 year outside of the Pelicans, and the organization he was in has just largely been a disaster. And so the fact that he went up so fast is very impressive. But the fact that the organization itself is not that strong and he's not had a lot of experience outside that organization is maybe more of a concern. So yeah, that's my quick read on Bryson Graham. Next candidate, Mike Gansey. So Mike Gansey is another basically one organization guy, but he's I think purely one organization, which is like he just came up straight through the Cavs. But he has been their general manager for 3.5 years, or no, 4 years? 4 years now. Came in 2022 after being their assistant GM and like running their G League operation. You know, and it's interesting that he kind of like ran their whole G League. Like that's kind of a neat set of experience and kind of like running an organization as a whole, even though it's a much smaller one. But then he's been the number two for a pretty long period of time, and his team has been successful over that long period of time and has done some really interesting things. You know, he traded for Donovan Mitchell. They've drafted well while he's there. They have a lot of talent. They've had great regular season records. They've maybe made some questionable contracts, but he like they've been able to move guys like Colin Sexton. You know, so I don't know. Like I think he's an interesting candidate. The only thing I'd say is like one organization guy and didn't really come up through the scouting ranks. And so for me, that's like kind of like a negative. I would look at someone who's more scouting oriented, but definitely has a lot of experience kind of like from an running an organization standpoint. And so if he's someone who can listen to the people underneath him really well, I think that's kind of interesting, only in that, like, yeah, he ran the whole G League and then he's had the most experience of any of these guys is like the number two. I guess Lindsey, because he was number one, really has more experience there. But yeah, decent set of experience. The least experienced guy we've got coming up that's from another org is Dave Tellep, another single organization guy. He came from the Spurs, basically just in their scouting network. He's only been in the assistant general manager role. I want to say it was 1 year or 2 years. God, I'm blanking it when I looked it up, so my apologies there. But like he's below the role that's below the role. So he's kind of like in the number three role reporting up to the number two, except usually you've got three or four guys in that like reporting up to the number two role. And he's only had that for a couple of years. So this is really a gamble on just the Spurs pipeline, I guess, and like their ability to produce great executives. Known as a very good talent evaluator with a good organization. I don't know much about him. There's not much you can know about him because he's really just been so far away. Like, I don't know. Like, that just seems like a fringe candidate to me. But I do think scouting is the most important piece of this, is like the talent evaluation piece. So if he's really great at it, like, maybe you could sell me on that. I would have to see, like, show me how you broke down all these drafts and show me how great you were. Like, would be a big piece of that interview, and you'd really have to prove to me that you're just way better at scouting than all these other guys. But that just seems like the experience just isn't quite there. And then the last guy we kind of heard about is Austin Brown, agent for CAA. We've had Leon Rose come in and be successful with the New York Knicks, and so I guess there's some pathway where that can work. But I don't know. I'm not a big fan of agents to the general manager or like head of basketball route. Like, I just don't think that's a really, really great example. Rob Pelinka did that. Yeah, I think Justin Zanuck was with the Jazz, I think, was an agent. And then apparently, as I type into Google, Bob Myers was an agent. I didn't know that Bob Myers came from the agent profile. Well, I also think Bob Myers is super overrated. So if we look at those guys, I don't know. I'm not like super impressed, but I guess Rob Pelinka did convince someone to trade him Luka Doncic for Anthony Davis. So maybe I should be more impressed. If Austin Brown can convince people to do that kind of dumb stuff, then maybe he would be great, and that would be awesome. But yeah, I mean, I guess when I look at the people who've done it, they've all just sort of done like reasonably solid. But I don't know. I don't I'd say maybe Justin Zanuck really wasn't too solid. But the rest of the guys have been reasonably solid. So maybe it isn't so bad. You have no experience in scouting, you have no experience in talent evaluation. Your negotiation is all on the player side. You do have good contacts, you do have good relationships around the league, you have good player relationships, you know how players think. But I think like all of the important block and tackling is just something you've not done, and you're kind of more of a sales guy. Like, there's a lot of like what happens there, and I'm just not as excited about that. But there has been some success there, so maybe I'm overthinking it too much. So those are the guys we know. There's also multiple guys apparently we don't know because they're not with teams. They haven't been reported, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, that's a wrap for this quick edition of the Bulls Beat. I mean, the Big Red of Waymo. So as we pull the Waymo into the garage, or the Waymo pulls itself in the garage, I'll talk to you next week. Go Bulls.